Welcome to Conversations. And now, from Los Angeles, here's your host, Mike Dowler.
And thank you, Sean, from Los Angeles. I am Mike Dowler. Welcome to Conversations Radio. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on X, and follow us on Instagram at Conversations Radio. Hey, on X, we're at Converse Radio. That's like the shoe without the E. On Facebook, we are simply Conversations, the podcast. And of course, Instagram at Conversations Radio. If you like what you hear, and even if you're not sure if you like it, drop us a line, conversationspod@gmail.com. New Year's resolution for me, I'm going to start getting better at answering my email. I get so much, and again, forgive me, but I will get to it. You're appreciated, and thanks you for listening to the podcast. Great show tonight. It's all about musical theater in a big, big way. We've got a stellar guest tonight from Boca Raton, Florida. Boca Raton, that sounds, I love that name, Boca Raton. It sounds so classy. Ellie Rose Pulsifer is a theatrical actress who's done it all. I mean, it's amazing. And her co-host is the wonderful Violet Tintorello. She's back for I don't know how many times now. She co-hosts, she's been featured. Both of these actresses are theater people. They do a lot of theater stuff and so much more. So we'll get to them in just one second. Great podcasts all over the place. You can go to the iTunes store and search Conversations Radio. Our podcasts are there. We're also on Amazon Music, Spotify, Stitcher, and you can even find us on Roku. I couldn't believe it. We're on Roku. That's great. So you can watch TV and then listen to podcasts later on when you get done with your favorite TV show. You can binge watch Conversations Radio, or I should say binge listen. Great podcast coming up. Man, stay tuned for that. But let's get through tonight. Our co-host, Violet Tintorello, is an actress best known for her role as Charlie on Sesame Street. She's the first child cast on that show in nearly 20 years. Award-winning actress. She recently won a YEA award. I know she's won other awards as well besides the YEA. She's also done commercials for Lunchables, yum, Red Lobster, Stop and Shop, Holiday Inn, Nickelodeon, and so much more. You may have seen her on AGT. She worked with Pharrell Williams. She's also the voice of Cappy on Wally Kazam, a great role on Cyber Chase. That's on PBS, playing the role of Alex. She's been doing stuff for quite some time. She spent 2 years working on Chasing Rainbows, The Road to Oz. And she's also a big supporter of the Jeffrey Modell Foundation. All the way from the Hudson Valley of New York, not too far from New York City, Violet Tintorello. Violet, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
It's always a pleasure. And you guys and your mom as well, you're just so cool. Whenever I reach out to have you on the show, you're like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do this. And you've been...
Yes, of course.
You've done so much.
I always have fun.
So what's going on? You were dancing tonight. You also teach dance, by the way.
Yes, I've started this year teaching tap. It's going really great. I love it. It's so much fun.
Now, tap dancing, definitely a thing. And you got to have those special shoes. And you got a few pairs, right?
Yes. I just got a new pair because I recently was like tap dancing for something on TV, but it's coming out next year. So.
Okay, great. And tell me about the Pharrell Williams stuff. You did stuff for Happy?
Yes, when I was really little, I was in Pharrell Williams' book of Happy, and then we made like a music video of it too. It was called Happy Kids.
And of course, your wonderful encounter with Howard Stern. He's a little awkward, but again, a great guy, and you had a chance to do that. You've done some phenomenal stuff. I mean, it's amazing. The voiceover thing has kind of been a thing as well for you, right?
Yes, I love doing voiceovers.
So are you still doing Cappy?
No, I haven't done that in a while, but I have done like a bunch of different commercials and like a few different voiceover stuff.
Awesome. And Sesame Street is also on again?
I just started film. We just started filming the next season, season 55.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy how time flies. I feel like I just started. I started in season 50 and we're already at 55 already. It's crazy.
And Sesame Street, such a iconic educational show.
Yes.
You got to love the Muppets.
And, yes, of course.
And certainly as well, the studios that you filmed at, very iconic. Yes,
Kaufman Astoria. I'm so excited for this season to come out next year because this is by far like some of my favorite episodes that I've filmed for Charlie. Like, I can't wait to talk about it. Like, the stuff that I'm doing on the show this year, I'm so excited.
A lot of interaction with the Muppets?
Yes, of course.
Cool. Very cool. Well, again, you got that going on. Any musicals coming up?
I just did the show Peter Pantomime with Shuffles in the City. It was at Symphony Space, and I was Peter Pan. It's like a, it's Peter Pan, but it's like all the numbers are tap. And I just played Peter Pan in it this year. So
how cool.
I had so much fun.
Awesome. So you didn't have to fly or anything like Tinkerbell? But...
Well, in the show, tap dancing is flying, so.
Oh! So that's a kind of a twist. I like that. Very good.
Yeah.
Hudson Valley. Have you ran into Julia Roome lately?
No, I haven't ran into her. I know she's been, like, performing. I really want to, like, go to one of her things soon when I get a chance. But, yeah, I really want to hang out with her. I need to reach out to her.
And, of course, Julia Roome was on here not too long ago. Violet co-hosted. And she is an amazing, amazing performer. And so cool to have her on. And, again, it's a small world. And you go to the same town there.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, let's go ahead and get started here. And again, we got a lot to go through. As always, it's just a conversation. Our guest tonight is Ellie Rose Pulsifer. She is a stage actress who has done just incredible things. Her credits are like 2 pages long. It's just amazing. She's in Boca Raton, Florida, but she recently did a 50-city Broadway national tour of Annie. And, of course, she was playing Annie. Now, you've been in Annie as well, Violet.
Yes, I have. when I was little, I think it was one of the first musicals I did when I was little. Maybe it was, like, the fourth or fifth, but I was, like, 4 years old. I was Molly.
She's done Annie. She's now performing at the Wick Theater in Boca Raton in Fiddler on the Roof. That's going through February 11th, I believe. We'll talk about that. And Matilda, Shrek, Gypsy. The credits are amazing. She's upgraded her studio as well there at the house there, and sounds really, really good. All the way from Boca Raton, Florida, it's Ellie Rose Pulsifer. Hello, Ellie.
Hi.
Glad to have you on.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, welcome to Conversations Radio. Of course, as you know, it's just a conversation. No list of questions. Violet, you got rid of the questions, right? No list. That's the rule. Okay.
Yes.
Although we do have notes. We do have notes, just so you know. And it is always, it's just a conversation. It's all about our guest. But so glad to have you on here. And I do a lot of, you know, perusing on the web and social media. And I ran across your material and your resume. And I was instantly a fan. I found a song that you did. You know the musical Smile, Violet?
I think so.
It's a Marvin Hamlisch musical that came out in the early 80s. And one of the songs is called Disneyland. Ellie, there's a backstory on that song, right, for you?
There is. So basically, the week before Broadway Dreams, which was the intensive I performed that song at, I was at my first ever New York callback for Annie. And it was a very fast turnaround. It was like, in the beginning, I didn't submit for Annie because I was an inch too tall. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not meant to be. Maybe next time. And then they still hadn't found their Annie after their big, you know, 200 kids show up to New York for a callback and, like, big groups of kids. And so basically they're like, well, we haven't found our Annie yet. And I'm like, well, I'm an inch too tall. They're like, oh, well, we'll accept it. And so I did my lines. I submitted. And this was, like, after everybody auditioned. So I was, like, one of the last people to get the memo. But basically, 2 days later, they're like, okay, can you come to New York? I'm like, sure. So then I went to New York, I think that Thursday or Friday. I did my callback. It went really well. I think it was the best audition I had ever done. I felt very confident. I got to meet one of the dogs that performed in our show, and I got to work with her. Her name was Sunny, and that was really cool.
And there's a backstory on the dogs as well, but we'll get to that in a sec. But
yes,
you did this song. It's on video. Your vocal, I know it's something you work at. I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight. You've definitely worked hard to hone your craft as a musical theater performer, right?
Yes, I definitely have worked hard. I've trained a lot. I've been very disciplined with, you know, dance classes and vocal classes and acting, just to make sure that I make the most out of what I want to be in life.
Well, this song, Disneyland, and again, it's an amazing rendition. I'm going to play that now, actually, because it's, I can't wait. I mean, when I first heard this song, I teared up a little bit. I mean, anybody that's a fan of Disneyland and wants to go to Disneyland can relate to this. This is Disneyland, Ellie Rose Pulsifer, right here on Conversations Radio.
Hot Sunday night, I guess the folks were busy fighting. Joe'd already left home. 11 years old on my own, feeling nothing but lonely. There's nothing to do, there's nothing out there but the traffic down on State 93. So I'd sit through the night by my own black and white TV. And that's when I saw it. That's when I heard it. Calling, calling me. Disneyland. Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. Close my eyes real tight, wishing hard I might, wishing hard I may find my way to Disneyland. I gotta get to Disneyland. On a western breeze, magic carpet, please carry me away. Trees are paper mache, it's done with mirrors, the magic there. These little birds full of springs, you press a button, it sings, recorded music in the air. They have the manner of face, it's only plywood and paste. Go on, say it! I'll turn around and tell you, well, I don't care. I don't care. I will Disneyland, make my home in Disneyland. Maybe it's all fake, but that's a chance I'll take. It's perfectly okay. Someone give me Disneyland. Take me there to Disneyland.
What can I say? Ellie Rose Pulsifer and Disneyland. That from the musical called Smile. Outstanding vocal.
Your voice is so good. Oh my gosh, that was so good.
Thank you.
How did you choose that song?
That song, I think it was recommended by my first ever vocal coach, acting mentor, Nadine Shapiro, which she sadly passed away when we were in rehearsals for Annie, but she gave me my start in theater, and I really don't think I would be here without her, because she gave me a chance and an opportunity. My first ever musical was Mary Poppins, and I played Michael Banks, and it was really funny, because I was the new kid on the block, so some of the kids' parents after the show, they're like, oh, who's that new little boy in the show? So some of them didn't even know I was actually a girl. But Nadine truly gave me my start, and I wouldn't be here without her. And I also got to give a shout out to my current vocal coach, Miss Amy Tanner. She has strengthened my voice so much to where it used to be, and she's really helped me mature with my voice, and she's just so amazing.
What was your emotion after you got done singing that song and you went back off stage? That is very emotional. I mean, that's literally, it is really good.
Thank you. I was just at an all-time high because, like, that last high note at the end, I didn't know I was going to do that. And then I just started singing. I'm like, oh, might as well just do something fun and throw it up an octave. And I think I had just gotten the offer for Annie before or two nights before. So I was like at an all-time high, and I had been auditioning for tours and like Broadway and all these things for like 3-4 years. So to finally be like, yes, it's my turn. This is finally my moment. And then to be like, okay, and now I get to do a solo in this amazing showcase. I was just at an all-time high and just thought, why not take it up an octave?
And Violet, I got to tell you, listening to that song, she really paints a picture. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yes, it was so good. And like, you can hear your acting through your voice. And it was so good.
Well done. Well done. Again, musical theater, definitely a thing. Singing, dance, more dance, acting, more dance, more singing. And you have you're on the road to success. I mean, you already achieved just so much. Tell me about your first musical theater gigs, your early shows.
My first ever show, like I said, was Mary Poppins at Broadway Bound, Nadine Shapiro's Broadway Bound. And I remember when I was little, I would do competitive dance. I did it, I think, from like 3 years old to 8 years old. And I would always get in trouble for lip singing on stage. They'd be like, Ellie, you can't lip sing. You can't like act it. Like you have to be in a group. Yeah. And then I finally realized, I'm like, oh, it's because I like to do theater and I like to act and I like to sing and dance. And then my first ever regional professional show was Shrek the Musical at Slow Burn with Patrick Fitzwater. Okay. And that was such an amazing experience. One of my favorite shows I've ever done, because I was the only kid in the whole show. So I got to learn from all these professional adults, and I got to be in a professional setting for the first time of my life. And I was only 9 years old. So like getting to have that experience at such a young age is something that I will forever be grateful for.
Wow. Well done. Our guest tonight is Ellie Rose Pulsifer, and my co-host is New York actress Violet Tinarello. And Violet, you've done stuff on the road before too, right?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So you know about living out of a suitcase and boarding the bus.
Yes.
And
going from one to the other. Of course. Oh, of course. Yeah, I lived in Canada for 4 months a year ago, filming What We Do in the Shadows, and then Oklahoma for 3 months, like 2 years before that, filming a movie in Oklahoma. So, yeah.
So like 17 years ago, my wife and I were in Seattle, and we actually got tickets to see The Producers. It was playing at the Paramount Theater in Seattle. Gorgeous, very ornate, wonderful show. We had great seats. We were at the DoubleTree Hotel. That's where we were staying. Next day we wake up, and guess who's there? The cast of The Producers. They were all there. Now, it's not Nathan Lane and those guys, but it's amazing. It was fun to watch that culture. You know, they're all there into their granola and the big breakfast bar, earphones.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing, a lot of people, but the nicest, nicest folks. And Ellie, Annie, a huge opportunity for you. Congratulations on that. 50 cities. Actually, you said 49. You rounded it off. But tell me about life on the road and how you prepared for this journey, because this is wow.
Yeah, life on the road is definitely something like, I don't think it's anything like I expected, but it was everything I could have ever wanted. Because a great thing about Annie is there's so many kids in the show. So I have made lifelong friends and people that truly like support me, and we support each other. And it was such a great experience, because I feel like you know, musicals like Shrek and like when there's just like, you know, maybe a young version of a character. It's cool to be the only kid, but it's also really cool when you get to have a bunch of other friends your age that you could tour with. I remember before we left, I'm like, oh my goodness, like what am I supposed to pack? Like how do you prepare for traveling for 9 months? Like how does one person that's never done that do that? So I remember just being really stressed, like, okay, how many shirts do I pack? Like, is there like a packing list? Is this like summer camp? I had so many questions. And my mom's like, it's okay. It's gonna be fine. Wow. And then we got to New York. We were there for, I believe, 3 weeks. And then we had tech for 2 weeks in Syracuse, New York. And we stayed in an apartment, and then we would just walk everywhere in the city. And it's very different than life in Florida, because normally we drive everyone here. Yeah. And then in New York, we were definitely getting our exercise. And it was really cool getting to walk around.
Yeah.
And on the road, it's like, it's better to pack light. That's what we learned very fast. Like in the beginning, we had trouble passing TSA because sometimes we'd accidentally put our liquids in our overheads. But by the end, we got really good at it. But some people would pack like a big suitcase and a little suitcase each. But I had one carry-on suitcase with my whole life in it. And that was it. Because the goal for a successful tour, in my opinion, is to pack light and just go with the flow. You know, because things happen. Like, your bus could fall in a hole.
Sure.
Your bus could break down. Your flight could get delayed. That one of those might be based on a true story. And you might all have to get on one bus. So the key is to pack light. Because me personally, I can't lug around 3 suitcases.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be lovely. I'd be spoiled if I got to have 3 suitcases full of stuff. But honestly, you realize you don't need most of the stuff you pack. So I just have all my clothes, and that's pretty much it. My toothpaste, my toothbrush, all the essentials. And then I had one little suitcase. And I remember some of my friends were like, how'd you just do one suitcase? Like, I'm over here with 3. And I'm like, I really don't know. I really don't need much. But yeah. And something I love about traveling on the road is travel days.
Sure.
Normally we would travel on a Monday if we were in a place for 1 week or more. But sometimes we would have split weeks. And that split weeks were really stressful because I think at one point you'd be in 4 cities in 1 week. But wow. It would be really fun to get to be on the bus with all the girls and hang out.
Sure.
But yeah, I really like travel days.
This was like a coast-to-coast tour. You were in L.A. as well. And again, you did all of this on the heels of COVID. So that's a challenge too. Obviously, precautions you got to take. But you stayed healthy.
Yeah, for sure. I remember there was one, we were supposed to be at the Dolby for 3 weeks. And we got shut down for, I believe, 1 whole week. But the good thing was we were supposed to be there for 3 weeks. So we weren't trying to, you know, get to another city while being shut down with COVID. So we honestly got pretty lucky that we were sitting in one spot during that shutdown. I never got it somehow. I was just sitting in my room quarantining. I don't think I left that room at all.
Yeah,
we were in Hollywood. So, and we were like in this little mall area where the hotel was right, basically connected to the theater. So like, it was really nice. And like everything we needed was 2 steps away.
Yeah.
So I was good chilling in my hotel room with my Uber Eats during that shutdown.
What was it? Was it the Lowe's Hotel by any chance?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay. Because they film...
it could be.
They film America's Got Talent there. They tape it there, and a lot of the contestants stay at the Lowe's Hotel. That's where they put them up. So it's very close. Yeah.
That was really cool knowing when I was there. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm on the America's Got Talent stage. That was definitely a really cool huge theater.
Used to be the Kodak Theater, but of course Kodak is... Well, no one does film anymore. But... Violet, do you pack light as well when you're on the road? Because, you know, there are stores and stuff. So if you got to buy necessities while you're on the road, you can always stop in a CVS or a mall or, in your case, you know, Macy's, Saks Fifth Avenue, you know.
Yes, well, I mean, I wish I could say I'm a light packer, but that's the opposite of the truth. I'm an overpacker 100%. I have everything I'll ever need. If anyone else is forgetting something, I definitely have it. Like, I'm an overpacker. Unless it's like, I definitely agree though with you. When I'm an overpacker, like by default, but then it's like, I think, wait, I know I'm going to go shopping. So let me just pack not a lot and then I'll buy everything there and take it home, you know?
on Annie, again, we're talking to Ellie Rose Pulsifer, who was Annie on a 50-city national tour. From the day you booked to the actual showtime, how much rehearsal was in there?
I believe we had 3 weeks in Manhattan and then 2 weeks for tech. So 5 weeks in total.
Wow.
And it was a lot of work because the character Annie is in basically every single scene. And that's on top of having to do school during rehearsals.
Jeez.
And then tech week is, if anybody's a theater kid listening, they know that tech week is a whole nother ball game. It's very, very tiring. It's very cool getting to see the stage and all the sets and the costumes, but it is very tiring and it's a lot of hard work. So yeah, we did have 5 weeks total for all of the rehearsal process.
And you did Chasing Rainbows.
So, yes, I was just going to say, that's like the same thing. We had rehearsals in the city, maybe for like a month or so, a month to 2 months. And then we had tech week. It was really like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks in Paper Mill Playhouse.
Okay.
Out of the city. And then we had the show for like a month, I think.
So after the show, obviously, you're probably exhausted, I would think.
Yeah.
And then it's back to the hotel and to bed, and maybe you can sleep in a tad. But, and then do it all over again the next day. So that's the life of musical theater on the road. Ellie Rose is, you're navigating it very, very well. You've done very, very good.
Thank you.
Folks like what they see because you've done some phenomenal projects here. Now, Matilda, another iconic musical. You've done it twice, two different productions. So how did you get that?
So the first time I did it was at Nadine Shapiro's Broadway Bound, and I got to play Matilda. And that was really fun because Matilda was always a dream role of mine. And it's just such a fun show. And I loved diving into the character because Matilda is a very complex child. She's got a lot going on in her life. She's got not nice parents. She's got moving things with her eyes. She's got literally saving the world.
Wow.
She's got a lot on her shoulders. So it was really fun to get to dive into that character. And then the second time I got to do it was at a regional theater, because the first time I did it was at an educational theater. But when I did it at the regional theater, I played Amanda Thripp and I understudied Matilda, which was a really cool experience, understudying a lead, because playing a lead is a lot of responsibility and understudying is also a lot of responsibility because you're learning two tracks. I played Amanda Thripp every night and then I was learning the Matilda track just in case. Sahaley, which I love her so much. She was our Matilda. She's so talented. She was on the Frozen National Tour as young Anna, so another tour kid, in case she ever had to go out for some reason. But luckily that never happened. She got to do all the shows, and I got to be Amanda Thripp every night. And it was such a cool show because I got to swing on the swings during When I Grew Up. And when I got swung around by my pigtails, I would run through the lobby of the theater from backstage, and then I would come out in the back of the house and run down the audience back onto the stage. So
I love
Matilda. That was such a fun
experience.
That's funny.
I always wondered how that worked. Matilda used to be like one of my favorite shows when I saw it on Broadway.
And again, running out of the theater and coming through the back, that you got to really rush.
Yes, it was so much fun though, because all the ushers and security in the lobby, they would start cheering me on when I was running up the stairs of the lobby and around. Because I would run off stage and then run backstage into the lobby and then quickly into the door. And then I'd run through the theater. And it was so much fun. That was definitely my favorite part of doing that show.
What is your favorite part of doing musical theater?
Definitely the people. Because, I mean, the industry, I feel like once you know a few people, once you do one show, then this person knows this person. And then you basically know everybody.
Exactly.
It's such a cool, it's such a cool, like, tight-knit family. And on tour, like, some people, like, don't realize we're with each other for, like, 9 months. So we bond, like, friendships that'll last forever for life. Like, I met my best friend on tour. Her name's Kenzie. She played Duffy. And, you know, without these shows and these experiences, I would never get to meet these people. So definitely the people are my favorite part of theater.
Yes, I definitely agree. I've met my best friends through theater. 100%.
It is an amazing world. Violet, for you, musical theater and working on stage is a totally different ballgame than working on TV and film.
Yes, 100%.
And a lot of people.
Yes, definitely. Especially because, like, you know, musical theater, it's very living in the moment. You go through it once, it's like you don't get, and it's also like you have to really be prepared. And the thing is with like film, you know, you could take as many takes as you want. It's way more chill than musical theater. But I kind of like that about musical theater, how like you feel the rush when you're on stage. I've
Sure.
always loved it.
Currently, Ellie Rose Pulsiver is working in regional theater at the Wick Theater in Boca Raton in Fiddler on the Roof. Tell me about that. Again, another iconic musical. Of course, we all saw the movie. Unless you're in New York, you've gone to see it on a stage. And I've seen it on stage as well with Topol, and it was amazing. You're now doing that and a lot of shows at the Wick.
Yeah, so far Fiddler has been an amazing experience. Bruce Sabbath, who plays Tevye, the lead, he is phenomenal. He's incredible. He's done the show so many times, and he is a top-notch professional. And it's been so cool to watch and work with him and learn from him. And also in the show, there's two daughters that are played by children most of the time. And in our production, they're double cast. So I've got to meet a lot of new friends, Ava, Leora, and Lily. And it's so much fun to get to hang out with them in the rehearsal process and tech week. And then we do split up for the shows. You know, we have cast A and cast B. But the nice thing about having two casts is that we don't miss as much school. I
Right.
get to go to most of my dance lessons, and it's a way less tiring schedule. And if it wasn't two casts, then I wouldn't get to meet the other two girls, which I feel like they're my best friends now. So I'm really glad that I got to meet them.
So you're singing and dancing on there.
Yeah, it's a
Okay.
really fun show. I get to sing and then I get to dance in the wedding scene,
Oh,
and it's a
wow.
really fun track. I really love doing the show.
Like I said to you before, Fiddler on the Roof is 100% one of my favorite shows of all time. Like, especially
Yes.
like growing up, I've always loved the show. Like, I saw it on Broadway, and then I saw it on Broadway in Yiddish. That's how
Oh.
much I love
Oh,
it.
wow.
And again, musical theater, it's all about the music. So an orchestra, I'm thinking for that.
We actually do the show with tracks, but
Okay.
they're very good tracks and they're very well timed out to like, you know, it honestly, if you didn't know, you would probably think that there's an orchestra playing, because
Wow.
I once saw a show there and I think the person next to me is like, "So where do they keep the orchestra?" So yeah, it's very nice tracks.
So the orchestra usually is under the stage, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right in front in the
Yeah.
pit. So
I went to see a show a while back, and I think it might have been Fiddler with Topol, and Placido Domingo was the conductor of the orchestra, which was just wow. Yeah.
that's so funny. So you saw that, and one of my closest friends, like me and my mom's closest friend, Deborah Grossman, was in that. She played one of the daughters in that production. I can't
Oh.
remember which one she played. She's also the voice of Smarty the phone on Sesame Street,
Oh, wow.
the animated Elmo's phone on Sesame.
We got to get her on the show. Can you set that
Yes,
up?
she's an
Definitely.
adult, but
Okay, no, let's set that up. That's cool.
yes, definitely.
Yeah, Fiddler on the Roof. Again, there are a lot of moments, a lot of tear-jerking moments. It's definitely pretty dramatic, but there are a lot of funny scenes as well. Of course, Tevye is kind of full of himself, you know. And Golda kind of runs the house, you know. She wears the pants in the family. But a really good story and a lot of truth to that. If you look at the story and the oppression that goes on or went on back, you know, way back when, you know, if you were Jewish in, you know, Russia or Poland or whatever, you were very much in danger. I mean, that's what it is. So, but very cool you get a chance to do this, and you're not done yet. And I understand the performance is like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a really long show, but it's really fun. Like when we're not on stage, we hang out backstage, we color, we play card games, we do our homework. So honestly, hanging out backstage is really a highlight of my day. It's really fun to get to hang out with the girls.
Yes, that's so like theater kid. Like I always do that with all my friends
Yeah.
during every show backstage. Cards, homework, coloring.
Yep.
So of all the cities you visited for Annie, I'm curious, what was your favorite?
Ooh, really liked going to Vegas because it was Thanksgiving week, so we didn't have any school. My family flew in, so we got to spend Thanksgiving together in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
And it was so much fun. And my friend was in Vegas, so we went on the New York roller coaster together.
Oh.
And that theater was, like, huge. It was, like, it was insane. And, like, everything in Vegas was, like, huge. Like, the playbills were, like, 2 times the size of my head. And it was just such a fun experience. I loved Vegas.
Yeah, again, all the lights and stuff and, all the gambling.
Yes.
But, yeah, Vegas is amazing. And again, there are neighborhoods. It's not just, gambling and shows and stuff. There are actually neighborhoods with parks and front lawns and churches and whatnot. So I've got a feeling that gambling is a really big part of Vegas. But there's also a very rich arts community there, too. And so glad that you got to experience that. Did you do San Francisco?
I think I did, yeah.
Okay.
It's honestly so hard to keep track of all of the shows because, I mean, going to 50 cities, yeah. I don't think I was that good, honestly, at being like, oh, do you remember this theater? Because sometimes I'll be on the phone with my friends and they'll be like, oh, remember Red Bank? And we were at this theater and this moment. And I'm like, honestly, I don't remember a lot of the names. I was horrible with names about the cities because I feel like with me, it was just a routine of wake up at 11, go to school, do the show, go to sleep. And I feel like it all kind of mushed together for me. But no, I don't think we went there.
But you went everywhere else. I mean, 50 cities, and of course, there's 50 states. So, wow. Today you were at Guitar Center, and I saw you, one of your posts, you were playing the piano. Do you play piano?
I got a piano for Christmas. I've been teaching myself a little bit. I'm going to start piano lessons because I really want to learn how to read sheet music and all the good stuff, because that's very helpful in theater, especially if you get an audition for a new show or something, and they just say, here's your sheet music, learn the song, and if you know how to play off the melody for yourself, it's super helpful.
I admire the folks that do the arranging for these shows, like Angela Weber and folks like that. I mean, they sit down and just work it all out, and they're writing the music, and someone's writing the lyrics. Usually it's a collaboration. And again, the piano is like the start. They're writing music for every instrument, which is crazy. Obviously, with Star Wars and all the soundtracks and stuff, man, you think about the process of putting that all together on sheet music, and it all begins from somebody sitting at the piano. And the same with Broadway and musical theater. All that stuff written on a piano, and very, very cool. So I can see that for you. That's good. Guitar, yes. Ukulele or anything?
I play the guitar. Okay. I'd say intermediate, but I would like to get more advanced. And I do play the ukulele because I feel like once I learned how to play the guitar, I could pull up, the chords to a song on the ukulele.
Sure.
And I remember since guitar strings are way harder than ukulele strings because ukulele strings are plastic, I remember just feeling like, wow, this feels so much better on my fingers.
And Violet, you as well, you play some instruments too.
Yes, I play the ukulele, and my piano is right here, actually.
Oh, wow, cool.
I don't know if you could see it.
That is definitely a musical theater piano. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
You see those old pictures, like photographs from back in the day, where they're all the actors are gathered around a piano and they're trying to figure it out,
Yes, that's the kind of piano I have.
There's always one guy that's smoking a cigarette, and they're working it out, It's a whole thing. That's a whole other part of theater. Obviously, to learn the songs and the dance steps and to recall that, and then you were doing, like you said, Matilda, you were doing two. So it's like, that's amazing. That's a lot of, is there prep for that? When you're training for musical theater, are there kind of like tricks of the trade that they teach you how to keep track of stuff?
I feel like everybody has their own method of keeping track of different tracks. Like swings, they have a very hard job. They're keeping track of like 7, 5, 7, 8, like so many tracks at once just to make sure they're ready. If somebody, like even if somebody gets sick mid-show, that they're ready to just jump into their place, which has happened before where swings had to go on mid-show or an understudy And it's a lot to keep track of, like, every single person where they are. Because, like, sometimes routines, everyone's moves are very similar, but, like, they're
Sure.
just this much different that it can throw you off. But for me, I liked to keep a notebook, and I would, like, draw little circles, and I would use color coordination of, like, everyone's different parts. Because when I did Gypsy, I was the swing for all of the kids. So I feel like
Wow.
writing things down was definitely my method.
Gypsy's a wonderful musical as well. I mean, you
Yeah.
mentioned that song, Violet. That's, again, yes, it's wonderful.
Yes, I grew up singing literally like in so many cabarets when I was a toddler. Like, my number one song was Let Me Entertain
Wow.
You.
So, like TV and film, is there blocking that's involved for you guys on stage?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like when we
Yes.
did Annie, what was nice about it was our director was like, okay, I want you to do the scene and I want you to move what feels natural for your character. And if something didn't work, of course, she would go in and be like, all right, make sure you're here at this point. But it all felt very natural. And then once we blocked it, then we would secure it and make sure it was the same every single night. So there was no safety issues. So everybody knew where everyone was going to be at one point. But there's definitely blocking in all the scenes, especially working with dogs because they have a pattern. So every single night we had to make sure that everything was the same as the night before.
Did Sandy ever not cooperate?
Not really. Honestly, the Sandys were more professional and like more perfect every single night
Wow.
than
Oh my
like me. Like, they would do better than me most of the time because their patterns are so like locked into their head and like so like, all right, I've got this. I'm gonna get the treat. I'm gonna get all these snuggles if I do really good. And like
Aw.
sometimes I'll have brain farts, and I feel like I had more brain farts than the dogs.
That happens as well. But again, you told a good story about, before we went on, about the dogs that portray Sandy, and they're all rescues. So let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so in the 2023 tour of Annie, Bill Barlone's dogs were on stage, and all of the dogs that Bill Barlone trains are rescue dogs. And basically, every single Broadway show that you've ever seen a dog in is most likely his, like The Wizard of Oz, Legally
Wow.
Blonde, and they're all rescue dogs. So he's given all of these dogs a second chance, and some of them come from kill shelters, some
Oh.
of them just come from regular shelters. And I remember Sunny, which she was on Broadway. She's done many productions of Annie. She sadly passed away while
Oh.
we were on tour, but we were in a city where we were like an hour away, so I got to go to the farm and meet all the Broadway dogs and say goodbye to her. So it was a very special moment.
Wow.
But
That
basically,
is like my dream. First of all, I'm the biggest like obsessed with dogs person ever. And like I'm just like I've always been so interested in like all those like Broadway dogs. That's so cool to hear about. Wow.
It
That's
was
amazing.
awesome. It was like they're all in one place and they are treated so well, and they have like Bill has so much respect for the dogs and he's like a dog whisperer. He's amazing. And like they're all if they don't want to do a show or if they don't want to do this, then they're not forced to do it, which is
Yeah.
such an amazing thing, and I love that.
That's a good one. And you're wearing a shirt. People, you can't see this, but you got a Humane Society shirt on as well. So I know that that's
Yes,
kind
I
of near and
do.
dear.
I'm a huge rescue advocate for sure.
Awesome. So what's next for you now? Again, Fiddler on the Roof's going on. What's going on for that?
After that, I'm gonna go back to training at Evolution X, which is my dance studio.
Okay.
I've been there since they've opened. I believe this is their fifth season. I just got back from a competition this weekend where I was supporting the team. They place like overalls, first place. They're phenomenal, and I'm receiving such great training from them. So I'm gonna just be taking dance lessons, doing some school, guitar, piano, go back to, all that training.
Any designs on doing TV or film?
Oh, I would love to. I submit for everything that comes my way, TV or film. Now that I've got this great mic inspired by you guys, thank you. Hopefully, my voiceover auditions will be even better. So maybe, maybe that'll happen one day. So if I ever get an opportunity for TV or film, I would love to do
It's all about the mic, by the way. Folks, she's got a Shure SM7, which is a broadcast quality mic, and she's got it on a tripod, on a mic stand. I've seen folks, like singers, that like they take that mic and they hold it. It's not a handheld mic, folks. It weighs like,
No.
it's pretty heavy, like 2 pounds. It's pretty
Yes,
hefty.
I have a mic in a mic booth in my house.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's yeah, you don't want to be swinging that around and, you know, do mic drops and stuff. Yeah. So you're set. Yeah. Ellie, we're going to have you back on because there's just so many layers to what you do and the quality of your work, your resume, stellar. I mean, just an amazing, amazing artist all the way around. And I look forward to having you back. Will you come back and visit us again?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This has been really fun.
And if you're ever in New York, you and Violet should hook up and maybe go to musical
theater. Definitely.
You know? Go see Hamilton.
I have a question for you, actually. Okay, so this is like a really basic question. You are so talented, and I'm really curious. What's your dream role?
Ooh, I would love to be Lydia in Beetlejuice because
I get totally so much.
I see it.
That was the first Broadway show I ever saw, and I also saw it on tour. And that show's so good. And I love the technical aspect too. And I feel like Lydia is such like a character that I would love to dive into character development wise. So I would love to do Lydia.
And Legally Blonde was good too. Legally Blonde's a good show to do. You were L.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I love that show.
Again, a lot of facets for sure. How can they follow you on social media, Ellie?
You can follow me on Instagram at Ellie_Rose_actor.
Very good. And go ahead, if you're in Boca Raton, please go see Fiddler on the Roof till February 11th. Is that right?
Yes, we're open till February 11th at the Wick Theater.
And you're in select shows as well, but definitely go see this. If you're listening and you haven't gone to see a stage production, musical theater, opera, a live music, anything like that, make a point and do it. Because musical theater is a thing. It was around way longer than TV and film. I mean, we're talking opera was the first real musical theater. And look what it's become. It's a whole new thing. Yeah. And again, the music, the artistry, the props. Ellie, when you did Annie, was there anything you kind of kept for yourself, like a memento or a prop or something?
I got to keep my note in the beginning that she reads that her parents leave for her.
Oh.
And then I was gifted my locket that I got to wear.
Oh.
So that was really special.
Oh my God. Then,
yeah. So I got to keep a few things, but it's nice to have them as keepsakes. And it's also nice to just have the memories. And I have Polaroids and lots of pictures and photo strips. So I love stuff like that.
Was there a bond between you and Daddy Warbucks? It had to be, right?
Oh my goodness. Christopher Swan, he played Daddy Warbucks. He's like the nicest guy in the world. Like I love him so much. I miss him so much. He's so professional. And like on stage, when you watch him as Daddy Warbucks, you probably think, oh, well, he's pretty like strict and like, you know, a business guy in the show. Maybe he's like that backstage, but he's not at all. He's so amazing. And we would have this thing backstage where we would pretend to be Spider-Man. And I think there's a post on my feed on Instagram of us in these little Spider-Man masks. But honestly, going into the show, I was honestly scared of what my relationship would be with Daddy Warbucks because I was hoping it was going to be great. And he just blew my expectations away. He was the nicest guy in the entire world. And I'm so glad I got to work with him.
The stories, the music, the dance, the camaraderie, behind the scenes, on the stage, off the stage, the travel, and the friendships that are forged, some of them lifetime, and of course, all the Sandys. Wonderful. Ellie Rose Pulsifer, we thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you. And Violet Tinarello, we're not done with you yet. You're, of course, dancing like crazy. Sesame Street, you're on episodes of that. They can watch that on what network now? Again, PBS, but it's kind of branched out.
It's streaming on HBO Max, and then you could watch reruns on PBS.
Very good. And you can follow you on social media as well, on Instagram?
Yes, just at Violet Tinarello.
Violet and Ellie Rose, I thank you guys. What an amazing show tonight. Outstanding. I like this musical theater stuff for sure. Folks, that's a wrap. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on X. Follow us on Instagram at Conversations Radio. This is Conversations Radio. So long.